I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories. Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. Today I welcome Ross Halleck to the show. Ross is an entrepreneur, award-winning vintner, world traveler, and lover of life. I sat down with Ross to discuss the global health crisis we are all experiencing and how he is navigating life under these circumstances. Whether we are in dense urban cities or remote rural regions, we have all been impacted by COVID-19. I discussed with Ross the various methods he is employing to carry on. Please welcome Ross Halleck. Hello, Ross Halleck. Welcome to the show today.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to continue my conversation with others, especially at this particular time. We may as well kind of highlight it, the COVID-19 period, and to discuss really like how people are doing and what is going on. So you're coming to us from the Sonoma Valley in California.
Well, we call it West Sonoma County, so it's not actually the Sonoma Valley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Where you do indeed run a vineyard and operate a business from where you are located, which is so super cool. And I love talking about wine and tasting wine and enjoying wine. But you run that business. You have a full-on operation. So tell me a little bit about what this time right now feels like for you, being where you are and what's going on your side of the country.
Well, while we are impacted, and it was ironic because I was in New Orleans, actually, just before you were in New Orleans, and you know, the COVID-19 scare was being spoken about, but you know, no more than the weather or traffic. And I came back to Sonoma County, and there was a ship outside of San Francisco Bay that had been quarantined, and people were getting off that ship, and two of those people came to Sonoma County, and there was an outbreak in Sonoma County.
Wow.
So when I landed in Sonoma County, like, it was just pre-lockdown, or
it was all hitting.
Yeah, it was all hitting.
Yeah.
And
I have two friends that were on that ship, as a matter of fact.
Well, I hope they're okay.
They are. But it was very, I agree with you that it was so strange and that things happened rapidly, because I learned when I arrived in New Orleans, when you and I missed each other, that actually two of my friends were on that ship. So yeah, it was such a strange time.
Right. And now, while it has yet to peak here, because, you know, I live in a rural environment, so people are quite apart. But New Orleans, of course, has become a new epicenter.
Yes.
And, you know, as a result of people living in close quarters.
When you returned home and this was all happening, and clearly two people from the ship, you know, kind of brought some cases then into your area, and having just been in New Orleans where it's dense and there were tons of people coming in and out of that city, did you feel nervous and concerned?
No, and I still don't.
Okay.
That said, I am wearing a mask when I go out. Mm-hmm. And I have gloves, lots and lots of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm washing my hands. I'm doing all the things that a concerned citizen would. But mm-hmm. I'm not living in fear.
That's great.
I live in a remote place. So I work at home, except for extended travel, which of course has been curtailed.
Right.
But not a lot has changed for me. Except that I can't go out for a cocktail and I can't go out to dinner and I'm doing a lot of cooking at home.
Right. So meeting up with friends is off the table, but in terms of your day-to-day life, you didn't find much of your routine that changed dramatically that you're feeling that level of the impact that others
exactly.
might be experiencing. So yeah. You run a vineyard, you have an amazing operation there where people would come to you as opposed to you going into an office somewhere else. Tell me a little bit about how now that's changed, because now people are not coming to you. And so
people are certainly not coming to me. And our business, so the wine business is surprisingly complex. There are lots of different layers and lots of different contributing factors. And our small business is primarily direct to consumer. We call that DTC.
Right.
And so 80% of our business is with the people who have a direct connection with us. 20% is the finest restaurants in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, and other small pockets around the United States, but those primary cities. So the fact that we don't have restaurant business is a hit, but it's not our whole business.
Sure.
However, the challenge with this time is that a majority of our business has been a result of people coming and visiting. Mm-hmm. So Wine Country is a destination. We host tastings here in my home. It's not a tasting room. It's not a hospitality venue. People come to the vineyard and we host as many as 5 or 7 tastings a week. That isn't happening.
Right.
And so the biggest impact on our business is a term used in a lot of different industries. We call it churn.
Sure.
So people, there's another word for it, attrition.
Sure.
So people, especially in the context of an economic turndown, in this case, a disastrous turndown, drop out of the wine club. And so we constantly have to replenish our club membership. And so this could potentially be a disastrous time for us.
Right. And so I noticed, because I'm on your list, that you are doing these really cool virtual tastings, something to sort of replace what you are indeed missing, what you've just described. Talk to me a little bit about where that idea came from and how you decided to implement it and turn it around, because you did that pretty quickly from what I saw. It seemed like within no time at all, you created this great opportunity for people to sort of dial into you.
Well, it was 2 days.
And that's quick.
And it's an illusion that it was 2 days, because we had really shifted our business plan dramatically almost a year ago. And the business plan for last quarter of 2019 and all through 2020 was a shift in strategy. We were impacted, if you remember, by the 2017 fires.
Yep.
And then the 2019 fires, where we were actually evacuated.
Right.
And so from the world's perspective, as a result of our friendly media, California was depicted as a dystopia, a burned out, you know, ashen place.
Sure.
Now that isn't the truth.
Right.
You look out today and I mean, you couldn't even find a place where you felt like, oh gosh, this was burned, because everything is green.
Sure. But, I mean, I went up to your area right after the 17 fire. So I'm very well aware that that is exactly true. You can find the lush green once again.
Not only find it, you have a hard time finding where it was burned. You have to go there.
Right.
And so, but the perception was that California was burned out. And so visitation dropped precipitously. Okay. And then was reinforced in the 2019 fire. So we recrafted our business plan based on the strategy that if people couldn't come to the wine country, we were going to come to them. And since we are not saddled with a tasting room and tasting room staff and what we call brick and mortar, mm-hmm. We had the opportunity to invest those resources that would go for rent and salaries into airplane tickets and Airbnbs across the country. And we began a strategy of traveling to locations where we had high concentrations of wine club members, mm-hmm. and inviting them to invite their friends and hosting tastings and creating sort of socials. We call them tasting salons. And in fact, bringing wine country to them.
How cool.
So we had that all sort of like locked and loaded and pretty dialed in from a tactical perspective.
Had you done any of that yet?
Yes, we had. In fact, when I was in New Orleans, I was doing it there. I did it in Charlotte and I did it in Atlanta. That was a 3-city tour that I was in the middle of when we missed each other.
That's
and so that said, when it was clear that that was like not going to happen.
Right.
The idea of bringing wine country to the people just was a very easy pivot using the technologies that we're sharing right now, which is Zoom and other virtual meeting software,
sure.
to create create community. And so if you were to go to our website, and if you were to have followed us for years, you know that our MO, our tagline, our raison d'être, is building community through wine. Mm-hmm. We do that. It's a three-legged stool. We can talk about that in a few minutes. But this was a way of continuing that mission, building community through wine and setting up virtual tastings using our wine club members and our what we in software you call your installed base as a platform.
Exactly.
And there's no better way to build community than by joining others.
I agree. Hey, every single time I've gone to a tasting room or I've had some sort of wine party, I think that we've built great community. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's always a very joyous experience. So much so that while, you know, I wasn't necessarily in the marketplace to be a member, just, any old place, I did have a membership at a Long Island wine. I'm happy to say that. Mm-hmm. But when I lived out in the Northern California area near you, I did indeed join a vineyard and a wine club out there as well. So it's been great fun. So I see what you mean and have experienced it myself. So you've now launched the virtual tasting room, if you will. And how is that going? Have you had your first one yet?
No, we haven't, because we just launched it last week.
Okay.
And so the logistics behind doing a virtual tasting are that, you know, there's got to be a part, obviously, the tasting part that is not virtual.
Sure.
And so we have, we are in partnership with a local creamery. Mm-hmm. It's called Valley Ford Cheese and Creamery.
Right.
And we are in partnership with a manufacturing company called Coravin that develops a wine preservation device.
Okay.
And so when you come onto our website and you book a virtual tasting, we have to put these packages together, send them to you, and then you have to go and book online a time that's convenient for you when you invite us into your home.
Right.
And we have this experience together. It is very fluid, unstructured. Of course, we have the wines, we have the cheeses and some other delectables that we include. And we have a little party. And
I love that.
The delightful thing about this that was kind of an unforeseen consequence, positive consequence, is that with everybody sheltering in place, there are parents who want to spend time with their children, their adult children.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're finding families that are buying these tastings for each other. And so wherever they are in the United States, we all come together and we just share a few glasses of wine and conversation.
So this isn't necessarily one. I was just going to lead and go into that question. Like, well, so you've sold a package to someone or a couple, mm-hmm. let's say, mm-hmm. you know, how does that lend for community? But you've just actually helped me better understand. They're actually dividing and sharing however they choose to, you know, make that transaction, but sharing the product. And then everyone is kind of dialing in. So you may have multiple households dialing in. Because another question that also popped up for me is, are you trying to group together different collectives who've signed up to bring together new people, or are you keeping it very intimate and having them orchestrate whichever kind of gathering that they'd like to have?
Well, if it's one couple that joins, or, you know, one household, if we have a calendaring program that has a maximum number of 14.
Okay.
So if people choose the same time, then they come together and just
they know
like,
they're in, coming together. That collectively,
they do not know.
Oh,
no,
they do
are.
Not know.
They, okay. they meet. They meet at the time. They meet there, just like if they were in my dining.
I love this. Mm-hmm. I think this is brilliant, and I'm excited to hear the feedback on the first one that you do indeed have and run. I think it's going to be super exciting.
Well, just we're excited.
Hear how it's working out. Oh, look. I think you and I have already had the conversation in the last few days about how much wine and spirit sales are up right now. So I don't doubt that this will be just something different and exciting to add to the mix as people become a little bit bored or looking for something that's a bit more exciting that they can't seem to be getting in their four walls at home. So yeah. So I'm happy that this is sort of, you know, working out and that you have a plan to just keep things moving forward, whether it's for the financial portion of business or it's just for the sanity of keeping your brand and yourself moving and operational to some degree, even though there are some great limitations right now. Tell me a little bit about just how you're feeling about the world, the economy, the industry that you're in. And when you look out, like, you know, where does it leave you feeling day to day? Or have you unplugged entirely and are you not really paying attention?
Well, I do not watch the news, or I do not pay attention to the mass media, because I found it to be toxic.
Yeah.
And I found it to be a consistent effort toward sensationalism and filling void space with drama. That doesn't mean that I suggest that we should, you know, turn on, tune in, and drop out. I read the New York Times every day, mm-hmm. and I select my media carefully, and I do it on my time, and not through somebody else's voice and picture and
right.
and all that drama. And so it's allowed me to keep a level of equanimity and I would say inner peace. It doesn't mean that I am not feeling compassionate, you know, heartfelt concern for our world, but I'm finding that I am setting boundaries that allow me to avoid the toxicity that the mass media is.
I think that's smart. I think that's smart. I think that one of the things I'm hearing a lot is how, you know, overwhelmed and anxious people have become. And I'm hearing that from my own family and friends. And I can't imagine, you know, that has much to do with what we're intaking from a content perspective and information perspective. I think there's so much information and there's so much going on. And while no one wants to put their head in the sand, we certainly need to monitor the self-care aspect of this, how we opt to preserve our own sense of being and wellness, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's our obligation to stay well.
I think and you're that, right.
Yeah, and I think it is our obligation to represent hope. And so in that light, that obligation is a responsibility that requires certain behaviors and certain practices.
Right.
And so meditation is one, exercise is one, staying away from mass media is one.
Right. Eating healthy.
eating healthy.
Yeah.
And also, and being informed.
Yes.
So all of those sort of, you know, create a...
It's a balance.
Constellation.
Yes.
Constellation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Absolutely. No, I agree with you. And like I keep hearing from the governor of my state, you know, we do have an obligation to be indoors. We have an obligation to make the right decisions and the right call and to not ever put anyone else in jeopardy. So I think the word sort of obligation has been floating around for the last 24 hours here for us. And I hear it loud and clear, and I mm-hmm. agree with what you've described and prescribed as being the best way to handle this situation now and handle ourselves. I think that's really terrific. So tell me a little bit about previous times and when you have faced crisis mode, whether it's been industry or it's been personal, versus what you see now and how you kind of feel we'll come out of this, or when we'll start trusting the world again to step back into it. Because we've all been through different phases of our lives that held either trauma or held some disappointment or some failures or whatever might have occurred for us personally. But when we look forward and we try to envision trusting the world again to step back into it, how does this time feel as opposed to the previous?
Ironically, to me, this, as dramatic as this is, I feel more hopeful through this crisis than I did, say, for instance, after 9/11 or after the financial crisis.
Tell me about that.
Well, this particular, we'll call it an episode in human history, is bringing people together. It is crossing borders. It is bringing our world as we know it to, not to a stop, but it is slowing it considerably, giving us a time for both introspection and extrospection. I think this is a clarion call for adopting a global perspective.
Interesting.
And I am grateful for that. As much as I'm compassionate, And my heart goes out for all the suffering that this is that we are all enduring at one level or another. There's something that is global that is happening that sparks hope for me. And I'm hoping that the positive aspects of that global introspection reap benefits that make the world a better place.
Absolutely. My feeling is I hope it's sticky. I hope all of this compassion and kindness and the slowing down and the attention that's just being paid to one another, I hope that it's sticky. I hope that it's something that we now adopt as a new normal and move forward, understanding or having greater understanding, let's say, of others. Yeah, that's what I'm hopeful of, or I'm hoping for.
The irony is that, you know, China, where this began, the Chinese scientists who were working on this, there was one individual that posted the sequence of this coronavirus to the world to engage other scientists. And it became a global effort to, for lack of a better metaphor, combat this disease. And ironically, the governments have become quite instead jingoistic, you know, and because our governments are there to serve the people. And so when there's been sort of a struggle or a competition of who comes up with the virus first, because there is going to be a shortage. By definition, you have a global need and it's going to happen somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so all the countries and all the politicians are trying for it to be in their country first. And why? Because they want their people to get it first. And I'm hoping that that tendency, as a result of this introspection, extrospection, is trumped, excuse that metaphor, by a higher
and that
purpose.
It becomes more of a sharing, and that we all want to sort of save each other, in essence.
It becomes triage as opposed to jingoistic.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wouldn't that be the most amazing? That almost feels a little too world peace, but I'll take it.
Yeah. We get to talk about it. So.
Yeah. No, I look, as far as I'm concerned, the more that we share across all levels and dynamics in this particular crisis, it can only be helpful. Mm-hmm. It can only be beneficial. Mm-hmm. And it can only really help us get out of it. I think we're looking and learning, and every day is a new day. And I would say that even trying to think beyond a 24-hour period now is impossible, which again is so ironic how we're being brought back into this place of presence and being present now, and being more mindful of right now, which if you have never done or had a practice that included that, boy, oh boy, are you getting a hardcore lesson in what meditation's all about and what living in presence is all about, which is, I think, I personally enjoy, and hopefully others are getting something out of it for themselves. So I guess the other part of this that I want to sort of poke at just a little bit is, you know, and then there are those who do not share a positive outlook, or who can't see beyond some of the anxiety and the fears that, you know, are just overwhelming. Oh,
and legitimate.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, look, there's a lot of grieving going on, and we must make room for that grieving. Mm-hmm. And it is a loss
Absolutely.
Of so much. I mean, it could just be a loss of our jobs. It could be a loss of our finances. It could be a loss of the people that we know and that are gone. I mean, it could be a loss of freedom as we understood it. It's a loss of so many things and all of it at once. And not everyone is in a position to just sort of shake their head hard enough to feel better or to remove some of that anxiety and fear. And I guess, tell me a little bit about the things or the methods or what your in your lifetime you've used, or the toolbox looks like for you when you've ever come upon situations like that. I think I'm really just trying to offer up some sort of suggestion or to share something that may have been ideal at one point for you.
Well, I'm a big proponent of therapy, you know, and you know, there's no reason to not seek therapy in this time, because using these technologies, you know, I've had to reach out to my therapist, but I've, you know, like, he's in my hip pocket.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if I needed to Zoom with him, he would be there for me.
Right.
And, you know, I think it takes a village, and, you know, we need to, you know, choose our medicines wisely. And those medicines come in all forms. And so in my past, you know, there's been a number of them. Therapy is one. Exercise is another. That's a really quick hit and a good fix. Some people can't easily do that if you're in a densely populated urban environment. I'm very fortunate I can walk out my door and I can be hiking for miles and not see anybody. Or certainly not see anybody that I have to be within 6 feet of.
Right.
There are a lot more people on the country roads these days than ever in the past. And it's funny, I'm getting to know my neighbors because we are all walking.
Right. And you're often in cars otherwise. And even for those in densely populated areas, I think there's always something you could do indoors to sort of get your body moving. You could do a dance party, for God's sake. I mean, you could be really anything on that
yoga
level.
Yoga, for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, those are really helpful. And I agree. I mean, there's so much online stuff right now. And, mm-hmm. and those things are free and available. And I'm glad that so many people are accessing all sorts of modalities that are being offered up. But at the same time, you know, people want to hear what others are doing and what's working and what's not. And not everybody's keen to just get a video up on their laptops or their computers. And, you know, it looks different for so many different people. So yeah, the more we can offer and suggest, I think the better off people will feel.
I did a dance class, or I've been attending a dance class every Monday.
Okay.
And the organizer of the dance class tried to do it virtually. You know, everybody with their computers in their living rooms, and, you know, it really didn't work, right? Because part of dancing is,
right.
is being with other people, even if it's ecstatic, sort of, you know, personal dancing, it wasn't happening. So he's converted that to a meditation session.
That's
so
great.
We all tune in on the morning and we say hello to each other, and then he reads something that is meaningful and you know, rings a bell, and we spend 20 minutes and we open up our eyes and there everybody is, and we say, have a great day. And it's, you know,
I think that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Like to utilize it in that way. Cause you're right. The dance thing is tricky and doesn't really, doesn't, I mean, what I did find helpful is I've been listening to some DJs that are spinning. So, mm-hmm. you know, nothing that requires routine or to not understand a certain kind of choreographed routine, but certainly the opportunity to hear some great soulful music being, you know, spinning, and why not? You know, that's always a good time, but it's all very good. Well, I'm really glad we got to chat about this today. I think it was really just important to, and I will continue, you know, tapping into different people to understand, how are you? You know, how is this leaving you? And, you know, how is it impacting you, obviously, from a professional standpoint, which, you know, obviously we were able to cover, but, you know, I think others will, I don't know, hopefully find themselves there and find not just that they're not alone, but give them some ideas or just be a comfort to hear that, you know, we're all sort of struggling, but we're all figuring it out. We're using our creativity and we're using our bodies and our brains to take care and to be kind to ourselves. And that's what this was really, you know, the purpose of this call and this discussion was really about.
Well, I think it's inspired, and thank you for inviting me to participate.
Yeah. And, you know, in the show notes, I'm going to post your contact information, certainly the vineyard, because I got my invitation this morning for the Thursday night happy. Is it a Thursday night happy hour?
Well, we chose specifically not to use that word because so we call it our Thursday evening social.
Social. That's it. Yeah, that's
it. It's a social.
Yeah. So even though
it's our first one and it's free. So,
right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love to share that sort of thing. And so hopefully you'll be doing them moving forward.
Yeah, filled up. Oh, yeah, we're going to do it every. So it filled up in 2 hours.
Okay.
And so we're doing it next week, too. And we're just going to do it on a weekly basis. And if people can drop in, it's a drop in. It's an hour and a half. You can come in. You can bring a bottle of wine or not. We're going to be sharing wine. We're going to be talking about wine. We're going to be talking about each other. It's very just open. We have live music.
Yes.
So it'll be really fun. We have an entertainer that's coming in from Los Angeles that's going to do a set for us.
I love that. Well, I love being able to give more options for those who are looking to join in, meet new people, talk about wine, drink their own while they're having that experience. And so I look forward to sharing that in the show notes as well. So everybody, if you're listening now, I will be posting that for you to tap into. And great. I thank you, Ross. It's always good to see you.
And you too.
Excellent. That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.